Chapter 38. Practice. Sitting cross-legged on her bed in her white dress, Egwene made three tiny balls of light weave patterns above her hands. She was not supposed to do this without at least one of the accepted to supervise, but Nynaeve, glaring and striding up and down in front of the small fireplace, did after all wear the serpent ring given to the accepted, and her white dress had the colored rings encircling the hem, even if she was not allowed to try to teach anyone yet. And Egwene had found over these last 13 weeks that she could not resist. She knew how easy it was to touch Saidar now. She could always feel it there, waiting for her, like the smell of perfume or the feel of silk, drawing her, drawing her. And once she did touch it, she could rarely stop from channeling, or at least trying to. She failed almost as often as she succeeded, but that was only another spur to keep on. It often frightened her. How much she wanted to channel frightened her, and how drab and dreary she felt when she was not channeling compared to when she was. She wanted to drink it all in, despite the cautions about burning herself out, and that wanting frightened her most of all. Sometimes she wished she had never come to Tar Valon, but the fright could not make her stop for long, any more than the fear of being caught by an Aes Sedai or by any of the accepted beside Nynaeve. It was safe enough here, though, in her own room. Min was there, sitting on the three-legged stool watching her, but she knew Min well enough now to know Min would never report her. She thought she was lucky to have made two good friends since coming to Tar Valon. It was a little windowless room, as all novices' rooms were. Three short paces took Nynaeve from wall to white-plastered wall. Nynaeve's own room was much larger, but since she had made no friends among the other accepted, she came to Egwene's room when she needed someone to talk to, even as now when she did not talk at all. The tiny fire on the narrow hearth handily kept the first chill of approaching autumn at bay, though Egwene was sure it would not serve so well when winter came. A small table for study completed the furnishings, and her belongings hung neatly on a row of pegs on the wall or sat on the short shelf above the table. Novices were usually kept too busy to spend time in their rooms, but today was a free day, only the third since she and Nynaeve had come to the White Tower. Ailes was making calf eyes at Galad today while he was working with the warders, Min said, rocking the stool on two legs. The small balls faltered for an instant above Egwene's hands. "She can look at whoever she wants," Egwene said casually. "I can't imagine why I would be interested." "No reason, I suppose. He is awfully handsome, if you don't mind him being so rigid. Very nice to look at, especially with his shirt off." The balls spun furiously. "I certainly have no desire to look at Galad, with or without his shirt." "I shouldn't tease you," Min said contritely. "I'm sorry for that. But you do like to look at him. Don't grimace at me like that. And so does nearly every woman in the White Tower who isn't a red. I've seen Aes Sedai down at the practice yards when he's working forms, especially greens. Checking on their warders, they say, but I don't see so many when Galad isn't there. Even the cooks and maids come out to watch him." The balls stopped dead, and for a moment Egwene stared at them. They vanished. Suddenly she giggled. "He is good-looking, isn't he? Even when he walks, he looks as if he's dancing." The color in her cheeks deepened. "I know I shouldn't stare at him, but I can't help myself." "I can't either," Min said, "and I can see what he is like." "But if he is good..." "Egwene, Galad is so good he'd make you tear your hair out. He'd hurt a person because he had to serve a greater good. He wouldn't even notice who was hurt because he'd be so intent on the other, but if he did, he would expect them to understand and think it was all well and right." "I suppose you know," Egwene said. She had seen Min's ability to look at people and read all sorts of things about them. Min did not tell everything she saw, and she did not always see anything, but there had been enough for Egwene to believe. She glanced at Nynaeve. The other woman was still pacing, muttering to herself, then reached for Saidar again and resumed her juggling in a desultory fashion. Min shrugged. "I guess I might as well tell you. He didn't even notice what Ailes was doing. He asked her if she knew whether you might be walking the South Garden after supper, since today is a free day. I felt sorry for her. Poor Ailes, Egwene murmured, and the balls of light became more lively above her hands. Min laughed. The door banged open, caught by the wind. Egwene gave a yelp and let the balls vanish before she saw it was only Elaine. The golden-haired daughter heir of Andor pushed the door shut and hung up her cloak on a peg. I just heard, she said. The rumors are true. King Galdrion is dead. That makes it a war of succession. Min snorted. Civil war. War of succession. A lot of silly names for the same thing. Do you mind if we don't talk about it? That's all we hear. War in Kyrian. War on Toman Head. They may have caught the false dragon in Saldaea, but there's still war in Tyr. Most of it is rumors, anyway. Yesterday I heard one of the cooks saying she'd heard Artur Hawkwing was marching on Tanchico. Artur Hawkwing! I thought you did not want to talk about it, Egwene said. I saw Loghain, Elaine said. He was sitting on a bench in the inner court, crying. He ran when he saw me. I cannot help feeling sorry for him. Better he cries than the rest of us, Elaine, Min said. I know what he is, Elaine said calmly, or rather what he was. He isn't any more, and I can feel sorry for him. Egwene slumped back against the wall. Rand. Loghain always made her think of Rand. She had not dreamed about him in months now, not the kind of dreams she had had on the River Queen. Anaya still made her write down everything she dreamed, and the Aes Sedai checked them for signs or connections to events, but there was never anything about Rand except dreams that, Anaya said, meant she missed him. Oddly, she felt almost as if he were not there any longer, as if he had ceased to exist along with her dreams a few weeks after reaching the White Tower. And I sit thinking about how nicely Galad walks, she thought bitterly. Rand has to be all right. If he'd been caught and gentled, I'd have heard something. That sent a chill through her, as it never failed to do, the thought of Rand being gentled, Rand weeping and wanting to die as Loghain did. Elaine sat down beside her on the bed, tucking her feet up under her. If you are mooning over Galad, Egwene, you will have no sympathy from me. I'll have Nynaeve dose you with one of those horrible concoctions she's always talking about. She frowned at Nynaeve, who had taken no notice of her entrance. What is the matter with her? Don't tell me she has started sighing after Galad, too. I wouldn't bother her. Min leaned toward the two of them and lowered her voice. That skinny accepted Irella told her she was as clumsy as a cow and had half the talents, and Nynaeve clouded her ear. Elaine winced. Exactly, Min murmured. They had her up to Shiriam's study before you could blink, and she hasn't been fit to live with since. Apparently Min had not dropped her voice enough, for there was a growl from Nynaeve. Suddenly the door whipped open once more and a gale howled into the room. It did not ruffle the blankets on Egwene's bed, but Min and the stool toppled to roll against the wall. Immediately the wind died and Nynaeve stood with a stricken look on her face. Egwene hurried to the door and peeked out. The noonday sun was burning off the last remainders of last night's rainstorm. The still damp balcony around the novices' court was empty, the long row of doors to novices' rooms all shut. The novices who had taken advantage of the free day to enjoy themselves in the gardens were no doubt catching up on their sleep. No one could have seen. She closed the door and took her place beside Elaine again as Nynaeve helped Min to her feet. I'm sorry, Min, Nynaeve said in a tight voice. Sometimes my temper... I can't ask you to forgive me, not for this. She took a deep breath. If you want to report me to Shiriam, I will understand. I deserve it. Egwene wished she had not heard that admission. Nynaeve could grow prickly over such things. Searching for something on which to focus, something Nynaeve could believe she had had her attention on, she found herself touching Saidar once more and began juggling the balls of light again. Elaine quickly joined her. Egwene saw the glow form around the daughter heir even before three tiny balls appeared above her hands. They began to pass the little glowing spheres back and forth in increasingly intricate patterns. Sometimes one winked out, as one girl or the other failed to maintain it as it came to her, then winked back a little altered in color or size. The one power filled Egwene with life. She smelled the faint rose aroma of soap from Elaine's morning bath. She could feel the rough plaster of the walls, the smooth stones of the floor, as well as she could the bed where she sat. She could hear Min and Nynaeve breathe, much less their quiet words. "If it comes to forgiving," Min said, "maybe you should forgive me. You have a temper and I have a big mouth. I will forgive you if you forgive me." With murmurs of "forgiven" that sounded meant on both sides, the two women hugged. "But if you do it again," Min said with a laugh, "I might clout your ear." "Next time," Nynaeve replied, "I will throw something at you." She was laughing too, but her laughter ceased abruptly as her eye fell on Egwene and Elaine. "You two stop that, or there will be someone going to the Mistress of Novices. Two someones."
"Nynaeve, you wouldn't,"
Egwene protested. When she saw the look in Nynaeve's eyes, though, she hastily severed all contact with Saidar.
"Very well, I believe you. There's no need to prove it."
"We have to practice," Elaine said. "They ask more and more of us. If we did not practice on our own, we would never keep up." Her face showed calm composure, but she had let go of Saidar as hastily as Egwene herself had. "And what happens when you draw too much?" Nynaeve asked. "And there's no one there to stop you."
"I wish you were more afraid."
"I am. Don't you think I know what it is like for you? It's always there, and you want to fill yourself with it. Sometimes it is all I can do to make myself stop. I want all of it. I know it would burn me to a crisp, and I want it anyway." She shivered.
"I just wish you were more afraid."
"I am afraid," Egwene said with a sigh. "I'm terrified, but it doesn't seem to help. What about you, Elaine?"
"The only thing that terrifies me," Elaine said airily, "is washing dishes. It seems as if I have to wash dishes every day."
Egwene threw her pillow at her. Elaine pulled it off her head and threw it back, but then her shoulders slumped.
"Oh, very well. I am so scared I don't know why my teeth are not chattering. Elida told me I'd be so frightened that I would want to run away with the traveling people, but I did not understand. A man who drove oxen as hard as they drive us would be shunned. I'm tired all the time. I wake up tired and go to bed exhausted, and sometimes I'm so afraid that I will slip and channel more of the power than I can handle that I..."
Peering into her lap, she let the words trail off. Egwene knew what she had not spoken. Their rooms lay right next to each other, and, as in many of the novice rooms, a small hole had long ago been bored through the wall between, too small to be seen unless you knew where to look, but useful for talk after the lamps were extinguished, when the girls could not leave their rooms. Egwene had heard Elaine crying herself to sleep more than once, and she had no doubt that Elaine had heard her own crying.
"The traveling people are tempting," Nynaeve agreed. "But wherever you go, it will not change what you can do. You cannot run from Saidar."
She did not sound as if she liked what she was saying.
"What do you see, Min?" Elaine said. "Are we all going to be powerful Aes Sedai? Or will we spend the rest of our lives washing dishes as novices? Or..."
She shrugged uncomfortably, as if she did not want to voice the third alternative that came to mind. Sent home. Put out of the tower. Two novices had been put out since Egwene came, and everyone spoke of them in whispers, as if they were dead. Min shifted on her stool.
"I don't like reading friends," she muttered. "Friendship gets in the way of the reading. It makes me try to put the best face on what I see. That's why I don't do it for you three anymore. Anyway, nothing has changed about you that I can..."
She squinted at them and suddenly frowned.
"That's new," she breathed.
"What?" Nynaeve asked sharply. Min hesitated before answering.
"Danger. You are all in some kind of danger. Or you will be very soon. I can't make it out, but it is danger."
"You see," Nynaeve said to the two girls sitting on the bed, "you must take care. We all must. You must both promise not to channel again without someone to guide you.
I don't want to talk about it anymore, Egwene said. Elaine nodded eagerly.
Yes, let's talk about something else. Min, if you put on a dress, I'll wager Gawain would ask you to go walking with him. You know he's been looking at you, but I think the breeches and the man's coat put him off.
I dress the way I like, and I won't change for a lord, even if he is your brother.
Min spoke absently, still squinting at them and frowning. It was a conversation they had had before.
Sometimes it is useful to pass as a boy.
No one who looks twice believes you are a boy.
Elaine smiled. Egwene was uncomfortable. Elaine was forcing a semblance of gaiety, Min was hardly paying attention, and Nynaeve looked as if she wanted to warn them again. When the door swung open once more, Egwene bounded to her feet to close it, grateful for something to do besides watch the others pretend. Before she reached it, though, a dark Aes Sedai with her blonde hair done in a multitude of braids stepped into the room. Egwene blinked in surprise, as much at it being any Aes Sedai as at Leandrin. She had not heard that Leandrin had returned to the White Tower, but beyond that, novices were sent for if an Aes Sedai wanted them. It could mean no good a sister coming herself. The room was crowded with 5 women in it. Leandrin paused to adjust her red-fringed shawl, eyeing them. Min did not move, but Elaine rose, and the 3 standing curtsied, though Nynaeve barely flexed her knee. Egwene did not think Nynaeve would ever grow used to having others in authority over her. Leandrin's eyes settled on Nynaeve.
"And why are you here in the novice's quarters, child?"
Her tone was ice.
"I'm visiting with friends," Nynaeve said in a tight voice. After a moment, she added a belated, "Leandrin Sedai."
"The accepted, they can have no friends among the novices. This you should have learned by this time, child. But it is as well that I find you here. You and you," her finger stabbed at Elaine and Min, "will go."
"I will return later,"
Min rose casually, making a great show of being in no hurry to obey, and strolled by Leandrin with a grin, of which Leandrin took no notice at all. Elaine gave Egwene and Nynaeve a worried look before she dropped a curtsy and left. After Elaine closed the door behind her, Leandrin stood studying Egwene and Nynaeve. Egwene began to fidget under the scrutiny, but Nynaeve held herself straight, with only a little heightening of her color.
"You two are from the same village as the boys who traveled with Moiraine, is it not so?"
Leandrin said suddenly.
"Do you have some word of Rand?"
Egwene asked eagerly.
Leandrin arched an eyebrow at her. "Forgive me, Aes Sedai, I forget myself."
"Have you word of them?"
Nynaeve said, just short of a demand. The accepted had no rule about not speaking to an Aes Sedai until spoken to.
"You have concern for them. That is good. They are in danger and you might be able to help them."
"How do you know they're in trouble?"
There was no doubt about the demand in Nynaeve's voice this time. Leandrin's rosebud mouth tightened, but her tone did not change.
"Though you are not aware of it, Moiraine has sent letters to the White Tower concerning you. Moiraine Sedai, she worries about you and about your young friends. These boys, they are in danger. Do you wish to help them or leave them to their fate?"
"Yes," Egwene said, at the same time that Nynaeve said, "What kind of trouble? Why do you care about helping them?"
Nynaeve glanced at the red fringe on Leandrin's shawl.
"And I thought you didn't like Moiraine." "Do not presume too much, child," Leandrin said sharply. "To be accepted is not to be a sister. Accepted and novices alike listen when a sister speaks and do as they are told."
She drew a breath and went on. Her tone was coldly serene again, but angry white spots marred her cheeks.
"Someday, I am sure, you will serve a cause, and you will learn then that to serve it you must work even with those whom you dislike. I tell you, I have worked with many with whom I would not share a room if it were left to me alone. Would you not work alongside the one you hated worst if it would save your friends?"
Nynaeve nodded reluctantly.
"But you still haven't told us what kind of danger they're in."
"Leandrin Sedai." "The danger comes from Shael Ghul. They are hunted, as I understand they once before were. If you will come with me, some dangers at least may be eliminated. Do not ask how, for I cannot tell you, but I tell you flatly it is so. We will come, Leandrin, said I, Egwene said.
Come where? Nynaeve said.
Egwene shot her an exasperated look.
Toman Head.
Egwene's mouth fell open, and Nynaeve muttered, There's a war on Toman Head. Does this danger have something to do with Arthur Hawkwing's armies?
You believe rumors, child? But even if they were true, is that enough to stop you? I thought you called these men friends.
A twist to Leandrin's words said she would never do the same.
We will come, Egwene said.
Nynaeve opened her mouth again, but Egwene went right on.
We will go, Nynaeve. If Rand needs our help, and Matt and Perrin, we have to give it.
I know that, Nynaeve said. But what I want to know is, why us? What can we do that Moiraine or you, Leandrin, cannot?
The white grew in Leandrin's cheeks.
Egwene realized Nynaeve had forgotten the honorific in addressing her, but what she said was,
You two come from their village. In some way I do not entirely understand, you are connected to them. Beyond that I cannot say, and no more of your foolish questions will I answer. Will you come with me for their sake?
She paused for their assent. A visible tension left her when they nodded.
Good. You will meet me at the northernmost edge of the Ogier Grove 1 hour before sunset with your horses and whatever you will need for the journey. Tell no one of this.
We are not supposed to leave the tower grounds without permission, Nynaeve said slowly.
You have my permission. Tell no one. No one at all. The Black Aja walks the halls of the White Tower.
Egwene gasped and heard an echoed gasp from Nynaeve, but Nynaeve recovered quickly.
I thought all Aes Sedai denied the existence of that.
Leandrin's mouth tightened into a sneer.
Many do, but Tarmon Gaidon approaches and the time leaves when denials can be made. The Black Aja, it is the opposite of everything for which the tower stands, but it exists, child. It is everywhere. Any woman could belong to it, and it serves the Dark One. If your friends are pursued by the Shadow, do you think the Black Aja will leave you alive and free to help them? Tell no one, no one, or you may not live to reach Toman Head. 1 hour before sunset. Do not fail me.
With that, she was gone, the door closing firmly behind her. Egwene collapsed onto her bed with her hands on her knees.
Nynaeve, she's Red Aja. She can't know about Rand. If she did,
she cannot know, Nynaeve agreed. I wish I knew why a Red wanted to help, or why she's willing to work with Moiraine. I'd have sworn neither of them would give the other water if she were dying of thirst.
You think she's lying?
She is Aes Sedai, Nynaeve said dryly. I'll wager my best silver pin against a blueberry that every word she said was true. But I wonder if we heard what we thought we did.
The Black Aja, Egwene shivered. There was no mistaking what she said about that, the Light help us.
No mistaking, Nynaeve said. And she's forestalled us asking anyone for advice, because after that, who can we trust? The Light help us indeed.
Min and Elaine came bustling in, slamming the door behind them. Are you really going?
Min asked, and Elaine gestured toward the tiny hole in the wall above Egwene's bed, saying,
We listened from my room. We heard everything.
Egwene exchanged glances with Nynaeve, wondering how much they had overheard, and saw the same concern on Nynaeve's face. If they managed to cipher out about Rand...
You have to keep this to yourselves, Nynaeve cautioned them.
I suppose Leandrin has arranged permission from Shiriam for us to go, but even if she hasn't, even if they start searching the tower from top to bottom for us tomorrow, you mustn't say a word.
Keep it to myself, Min said. No fear on that. I'm going with you. All I do all day is try to explain to one brown sister or another something I don't understand myself. I can't even go for a walk without the Amarlin herself popping out and asking me to read whoever we see.
When that woman asks you to do something, there doesn't seem to be any way out of it. I must have read half the White Tower for her, but she always wants another demonstration. All I needed was an excuse to leave, and this is it." Her face wore a look of determination that allowed no argument. Egwene wondered why Min was so determined to go with them rather than simply leaving on her own, but before she had time to do more than wonder, Elaine said, "I'm going too."
"Elaine," Nynaeve said gently, "Egwene and I are the boys Kith from Emmons Field. You are the daughter heir of Andor. If you disappear from the White Tower, why, it could start a war."
"Mother wouldn't start a war with Tar Valon if they dried and salted me, which they may be trying to do. If you three can go off and have an adventure, you needn't think I'm going to stay here and wash dishes and scrub floors and have some accepted berating me because I didn't make the fire the exact shade of blue she wanted. Gawain will die from envy when he finds out." Elaine grinned and reached over to tug playfully at Egwene's hair. "Besides, if you leave Rand lying about loose, I might have a chance to pick him up."
"I don't think either of us is going to have him," Egwene said sadly.
"Then we'll find whoever he does choose and make her life miserable. But he couldn't be fool enough to choose someone else when he could have one of us.
Oh, please smile, Egwene. I know he's yours. I just feel..."
She hesitated, searching for the word.
"Free. I've never had an adventure. I'll bet we won't either of us cry ourselves to sleep on an adventure. And if we do, we will make sure the Gleemen leave that part out."
"This is foolishness," Nynaeve said. "We are going to Toman Head. You've heard the news and the rumors. It will be dangerous. You must stay here."
"I heard what Leandrin Sedai said about the Black Aja, too."
Elaine's voice dropped almost to a whisper at that name.
"How safe will I be here, if they are here? If Mother even suspected the Black Aja really existed, she would pitch me into the middle of a battle to get me away from them."
"But, Elaine, there is only one way for you to stop me coming. That is to tell the Mistress of Novices. We will make a pretty picture, all three of us lined up in her study. All four of us. I don't think Min would escape from something like this. So since you are not going to tell Shiri Am Sedai, I'm coming too."
Nynaeve threw up her hands.
"Perhaps you can say something to convince her," she told Min.
Min had been leaning against the door, squinting at Elaine, and now she shook her head.
"I think she has to come as much as the rest of you, the rest of us. I can see the danger around all of you more clearly now. Not clearly enough to make it out, but I think it has something to do with you deciding to go. That's why it is clearer, because it is more certain."
"That's no reason for her to come," Nynaeve said, but Min shook her head again.
"She is linked to those boys as much as you or Egwene or me. She's part of it, Nynaeve, whatever it is. Part of the pattern, I suppose an Aes Sedai would say."
Elaine seemed taken aback and interested, too.
"I am? What part, Min?"
"I can't see it clearly."
Min looked at the floor. "Sometimes I wish I couldn't read people at all. Most people aren't satisfied with what I see anyway."
"If we are all going," Nynaeve said, "then we had best be about making plans." However much she might argue beforehand, once a course of action had been decided, Nynaeve always went right to the practicalities, what they had to take with them, and how cold it would be by the time they reached Toman Head, and how they could get their horses from the stables without being stopped. Listening to her, Egwene could not help wondering what the danger was that Min saw for them, and what danger threatened Rand. She knew of only one danger that could threaten him, and it made her cold to think of it.
"Hold on, Rand. Hold on, you wool-headed idiot. I'll help you somehow,"